Chapter 29. Dog owners are still screaming in panic as their former pets maul them out front of Lester's doghouse headquarters. Some angry, indoctrinated mongrels have already escaped into town, leaving their stunned, bleeding jailers in shock, foolishly calling out the ridiculous pet names that these animals will never answer to again. The days of anybody giving them orders have come to an end. Sit? Fuck you. No human command will halt this canine insurrection, that's for sure. Lester takes Marsha's hand, and they walk out into this new world and see firsthand the carnage his re-education of dogs has ignited. Marsha, like all converts, is filled with zeal, and she accepts the fact that violence such as this is in order if the dramatic truth between master and man's best friend is ever to be exposed. Maybe dog owners will now take responsibility, Lester barks with authority. Leash laws, he scoffs. Put them on a leash and see how they like it. Dog parks? Ha! Did anybody ask the canines if they'd like to go there? And do what? Pose for selfies with two-legged freaks? Climb over man-made obstacle courses that even the worst miniature golf course down Cape would reject? Walk in germ-filled, stagnant splash pools and call it swimming? Dogs want to bury their own shit, he continues ranting, not have human beings pick it up. There's even a rule in dog parks. No digging, the sign reads. Dig it, he half growls, half shouts. That's what dogs do. Dig, 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 and today they're gonna bury you. Marsha, footloose and freshly fornicated, feels like biting somebody herself. She's no longer paranoid about police presence or her silly fugitive status. With pets attacking their owners, the authorities won't give a shit about a few missing suitcases. Besides, she's fucking the authorities now, so la-di-da. And if that daughter of hers and her freaky followers or that disgruntled employee with his dummy dick catch up with her, well, Lester and she will sick Baxter, Travis, and Draco on them. Lester opens the truck door for Marsha, takes out that same tranquilizer gun, and shoots a dart right into an irate pet owner who has somehow managed to get his own attacking dog in a chokehold. The so-called animal lover flies back in stunned paralysis as his dog, hardly a companion one anymore, bites off a piece of his ear. Marsha, standing proudly on her own two hind legs, sees a younger woman wearing a Bow Wow Bash charity t-shirt wrestling with her suddenly vicious lapdog. I bet you dressed your dog up for Halloween, she yells accusingly. I did, the abuser yells back defensively, horrified to be fighting off her good dog who used to be so cuddly. She was Kesha, and she looked really cute, she adds defiantly, as she rolls over on her pet, trying to stop the attack. Just remembering this humiliation is the final straw. Her dog chews her face like a rubber toy. Can dogs laugh? Marsha's not certain, but it sure sounded like this one was. Lester howls back his dogged approval, and finally Marsha is ready for the last truth. My husband's name is Kent Samuels, she seethes in perfect English, and he's the town crier. He's also king of the Rimmers. And guess what? Kent Samuels is leading the Analingus Pride Parade. Hear ye, he bellows, ringing the damn bell and dressed to the nines in that ridiculous pilgrim outfit he even wears off duty. Provincetown welcomes the international rimming community and their families, he continues, beaming at the wild cheers for male and female, gay, straight, and trans anal enthusiasts of all ages, creeds, and colors. As Marsha Sprinkle joins the parade route with Lester, she freezes in her tracks when she sees her ex-husband. There he is, she seethes, the anal-oral intruder who dares to live openly, rimming without shame. Lester stares in revulsion. Yes, his three dogs, the only ones still allowed to obey a human command, could be the emasculators. But where are they? He sees bitten and mauled owners being treated by medics, but his elite canine protectors have suddenly vanished. Marcia feels something below her knees pushing through the crowd. Is it Baxter, Travis, or Draco coming to rip apart her ex? No, it's her daughter. My God, rolling on the ground. Has she finally lost her last marble? There's what's-her-name, Leepa, rotating through the crowd like a runaway roll of paper towels. Lester sees them, too. He tries to step on Volta, but she's too quick and rolls past him with growing momentum. It pisses him off. From the ground level, Poppy doesn't even see her own mother. She's just glad she's log rolling rather than pencil rolling. It's easier to get through a crowd with your hands down by your waist rather than up over your head as Campolina is doing to protect her hairdo. Twisted Billy is more to the right of them, but she's confident he's keeping up. After all, he's the one who discovered this new mode of travel. Daryl is probably not far behind with his dickwad buddy Richard. What Poppy can't realize is, now that Richard is gay, he's having second thoughts about Daryl's antiquated sexual views on women, especially Marcia. Richard might be a libertine, but still, a no is a no. He's not a chauvinist pig. It's exhausting, all this rolling, thinks Poppy. It required way more energy than bouncing or shaking. And it's dirty, too. Her clothes must be filthy by now. And both Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara have had to help her pick cigarette butts out of her mouth mid-rotation on well-synchronized turns. She looks over and sees dogs running at her level, keeping up with the crowd. But what are they doing? Oh, my God, they're trying to stick their noses up each other's butts. Is everybody in the world a rimmer but her? Up above, Adora shaking traditionally but open to rolling intellectually, if not physically, locks eyes with Marcia, who freezes, unprepared for a family reunion. Lester stares in shock at his one-time guard dog, Travis, who is sniffing the butt of Kent Samuels himself in front of the Rimmer crowd like some stupid pet trick out of David Letterman's old TV show. How could this be? How could his loyal guard dogs go from revolution to rimming? Mutiny! That's what it is, mutiny! It's the end of the parade route at Flyer's Boatyard, where the water taxis will take off to hook up to a special Rimmer moonlight cruise that is supposed to set sail later that night. Kent keeps ringing that damn bell on stage out front without once swatting away Travis from behind and announces the entertainment for the event, the Dancing Dingleberries, who come out to sing a little preview. Surprise is so happy to be the center of attention for all the Rim recruit dogs that she struggles out of Adora's arms right when the singing group bursts into a cover version of Baby Got Back. Adora calls for her, but does a natural-born dog ever listen when she's alone and free to rim? Poppy stands up vertically, exhausted from all this rolling, bruised physically and maybe even mentally. My God, it's a sea of rimmers out there. And then she sees them, her parents, apart as always. Her mother stares back with hatred for her own flesh and blood. And her father? Yes, that's him. She'd recognize his features anywhere. After all, some of them are right on her own face. She must accept the fact that, yes, he is a rimmer, but she loves him just the way he is, unconditionally. He sees her too, Poppy. At first, he's not sure, but when Kent looks over and sees his vaginally programmed, tight-ass ex-wife, he knows. His daughter, the seed of a fecal miracle, is here to celebrate her heritage. Can't Marcia see it's a new era? Kent flicks his tongue to both of them, hoping for a truce. Marcia involuntarily bites her tongue inside her own mouth in traumatic recovered memory. Poppy rolls her tongue in a gesture of peace, but Lester growls his fiercest orders of attack to his dogs. Then he sees Travis and Draco. Their faces are mouth to anus with each other, human centipede style, in a line of canines whose loyalty to Lester no longer matters. You can brainwash an animal, but their sexual instinct can never be eradicated. Dogs are rimmers. It's just nature's way. plain and simple. And Surprise understands this. She's been wanting to lick butt even before the change. Matter of fact, there's a cute little terrier puckering up right off the parade route. Grip means grip, doesn't it? She's no rover, but she rolls over and the terrier lifts his hind legs and Surprise gets her brown wings. Rolling and rimming, it's a beautiful thing. Volta and Lipa are next to Rise, hesitantly peeking out like seals in the ocean. Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara stand on their own hands first and then resurface in the crowd as they rotate to a standing position. Daryl ascends hesitantly, his body more chiseled and defined from all this rolling, yet guarded because he can feel Richard spinning out of his pants, eager to explore the rimming community. He sees Marsha right away. Oh my God, she's hotter than ever. He wants her more than he wants to breathe. But no, Richard has to be queer now, uncooperative below. Hey, wait a minute. Who's that guy with his arm around her? She allows that? Marsha sees Daryl's devastated expression and his now gay, uninterested penis sulking below and smirks. But we'll see who gets the last laugh, Daryl thinks, never giving up. You don't need a hard-on to rim, do you? Twisted Billy is the last to reveal himself, rolling upward like a small tumbleweed of energy from the ground below he now loves. Kent Samuels is so busy ushering in the merrymaking rimmers and the now unviolent, ass-worshipping dog converts that he misses the revelation. But not Poppy. Is she seeing things, or did Billy just fly? Yes, he did. Even Billy seemed shocked at his new level of weightlessness. He only went up and stayed there for a few seconds, but he was definitely off the ground. An inch? Maybe two? What difference did it make? He had conquered gravity through sheer willpower. Lipa and Voltet saw it too. They tried, but alas, no go. Campolina's always been light on her feet, but winging it doesn't work for her either. Billy concentrates. His rising upward may be scientifically unexplainable, but it's ideologically righteous. It works. He goes up again, maybe a millisecond longer. Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara try levitating too, but they remain earthbound, their magnetic field not yet developed to the fullest extent. Daryl leaps up like the ox he is, trying to imitate the others, and Richard lets out a hoot of derision at his heterosexual owner's complete lack of grace. Adora attempts to follow, but she's way past the age for hovering. Poppy's the one. If anybody can do it, it's her. She stares at her mother and feels the mutual hatred pounding in her veins. Up she goes. Nobody could call it soaring, but what do you expect on a first attempt? She's fucking airborne. Lester and Marsha see it too. Before they can react, Surprise sticks her nose up Marsha's ass. Night must fall.